Next Step number 47, April 29th, 2009.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are searching for truths in ancient orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast on Apple iTunes or on the internet at epostle.net, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World. Whether you're listening on CD, over the internet, or on your MP3 player, we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Welcome to The Next Step. Hey, this is Father Vazquez, welcoming you back to The Next Step, a podcast dedicated to looking at life, inspecting the very fabric of our being, and doing it all through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission, the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center in Glendale, and is brought to you exclusively by the good folks at the Apostles' Net. Apostolic Evangelism for an expanding and electronic universe. So if you're ready, let's take the next step. $28,000. That's what it was. That's what we made. Can you believe it? Our famine is over. Yes, we did it. And I am just so proud of a group of people. You know, we got together last weekend, April 24th, genocide commemoration throughout the world. And a group of people, most of whom were descendants of Armenian genocide survivors, and said, let's do something positive. Let's move from the negative to something positive. And they raised $28,000. Guess for what? Well, even if you didn't guess it, I'm going to tell you, for the children of Darfur. I mean, there is a genocide taking place right now. And, you know, we've been talking about this for how many years now? And In His Shoes has been at the forefront of not only bringing attention to these matters, but also find ways of aiding those people out there. And 28,000, sure, it's a drop in the bucket, but we just got word today from World Vision that there's a good chance that that's going to be matched up to five times. So we can see maybe about $140,000, each of those dollars going to buy food and much needed supplies to care for the children in the refugee camps. World Vision does an incredible job out there in Chad, and certainly is in Darfur. We found out that despite al-Bashir's exile of so many of these NGOs, World Vision still does have a presence on the ground in Darfur. So we're very pleased to be able to partner with them. We just spent 30 hours fasting over the past weekend. I'm going to be telling you about it because it wasn't just a question of, not eating for 30 hours. I'm talking about a quality group of people, 29 people, 28, 29 of us, can't remember how many, but what was important, I cannot forget the spirit that was present there and the quality of programming. And by that I mean just the discussion and concerns of these human beings. I'm going to share that in a few minutes. I need to share that because I think you're going to find that there is so much that you could take into your life in different aspects of your life, whether it's personal relationships or community, let's say global concerns that you have. Of course, speaking of global, we have Harach coming in from London today. He's going to be talking, he's going to take a little green color to him, a green Bible, so to speak. He'll be talking about creation care. You'll want to stay tuned for that section. We have Ani with her bubbles coming in too. But of course, the big news of the day, we made it through April, and April is Genocide Commemoration Month because, you know, whether it's the beginning of the Rwandan genocide, which took place in April, or Holocaust commemoration, I believe it was April 22nd that took place, or the granddaddy of all genocides and commemorations, April 24th, the first genocide of the 20th century, of modern times. The Armenian Genocide, which signaled the beginning of the extermination of 1.5 million Armenians in the Ottoman Empire. And we just got through commemorating that over the last weekend, and as I said, we did it in a positive manner by really shedding some light, not only raising money for what's going on in Darfur right now, but raising awareness. Last week, I spoke about the spiritual dimension of genocide commemoration. In other words, how spiritually we have to be in tune, body, soul, and mind, to overcome evil, whether it's personal evil, relationships, or on the global level. Today, what I'd like to do is kind of follow that all up, wrap it all together, and really come up with a formula that we can take in our lives and be able to overcome some of the biggest obstacles that we have. After all, isn't that what faith and religion and the whole purpose of what we're all about is, to be able to walk in the shoes of others? Why? So that we could feel their pain, and in so doing, bring some help.
God is a concept by which we measure our pain. I'll say it again. God is a concept by which we measure our pain. Yes, we do.
I don't believe. Very appropriate place to begin, isn't it? God is a concept by which we measure our pain. John Lennon, of course, going through a very difficult time in his life. And if you know some of the history, kind of accounts for the rest of the song and some of the rage that he has. But I wanted to begin with that because, you know, we went through a famine this past week where it was an organized famine. We fasted for 30 hours and we got together at the Youth Ministry Center in Glendale, and there was 29 of us, and began a fast that started Saturday morning at 7 in the morning and lasted all the way through the Holy Divine Liturgy. And together we broke the fast. We had our break fast or breakfast at the time that Holy Communion, the Holy Eucharist, was administered. And in between those two times, just a fascinating time. We've done this now for 8 or 9 years. I can't remember. I always get confused with this, but I believe it's 8 years that we've done it as In His Shoes, as a ministry. And I've got to tell you, this year was a different dimension, because maybe the age group of the people that got together, all of them children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren of genocide survivors. And so in getting together as such, we were able to bring together a lot of the dynamics and especially the discussions that we had. We had speakers. We had Bedros Malekian, professor from Azusa Pacific. He was with us. Actually, he did the famine with us. We had Father Avedis Abovian from the Armenian Church share some of his reflections with us. Within our group, we had some interesting dynamics. We had two members, husband and wife team, Hasmig and Edvard, who shared with us some of their reflections, because they had done this Walk Across America journey for humanity, along with Father Avedis. And we had, what can I say? Just an incredible group of people that were willing to go one step beyond. Not only walk in their shoes, not only walk in the shoes of others, but actually pick up those shoes and feel the pain. And by doing so, you know, by fasting, we cleansed our system. We removed some of the toxins that are built up in us. It was kind of funny because we had our resident artist, of course, Gregory Baylarian. What an incredible guy. And, you know, anytime that he's around, there's some magic that always happens. This time he came in, he talked about the master cleanse, about a roto-rooter of the self. And it got a little bit too graphic, actually. But it reminded us that, you know, it definitely reminded me that, you know, when we talk about fasting, we're talking about cleansing the system, aligning body, soul, spirit, mind all together. But it's not so much as a physical removal of toxins as much as really removing the toxins from the totality of what we have. Yes, obviously, you're going to clean your system by drinking water and getting it out. But how about the toxins that come into us every single day? The drug addictions that we have. You know what they are. The obsessions we have, celebrity obsessions. What's Paris Hilton doing today? Who's she with? What's she wearing? The Kardashian. What's up with the Kardashians? Well, after all, they're Armenian, aren't they? And what about the sports addictions that we have? Like, which team wins? You know, there's always some fun in watching a good game of football, soccer, baseball. Everybody can enjoy their these games, these sports. But the addictions, to lose sight of what's important in life. Sometimes putting aside our obligations to family and loved ones to follow these addictions. And I think that's what happens in a famine, in a fast. You're able to focus in on what's important. By not eating, you see what is really necessary in your life. And feel the pain of other people who we, by choice, are not eating, and other people without choice are forced to starve, forced to even die. And at that point, you have to really figure out, what's the purpose of this life? Do you have an obligation to others? Well, Jesus tells us in no uncertain terms. He says, yes, you do. You need to get out there and love and share and help those who can't help themselves. And certainly in refugee camps, certainly in conditions of genocide, you have an obligation because they are your brothers and sisters. I mean, think about this. In a Christian model, in a religious model, you believe as God is the Father. What does that mean? Well, if He's the Creator, He's the Father of each and every one of us. That makes you and me brothers. That makes you and me sister and brother. That makes you and someone else two sisters. What are we talking about? We're talking about family. We're all part of the family, which we call humanity. And we all share the same home, this planet Earth. And on this Earth, we need to find ways that we're going to be able to live one another, not build up ways by which we separate. Imagine there's no heaven, imagine there's no religion, imagine there's no country. When John Lennon says these things, what is he talking about? He's talking about imagine a place where there is no division, but there is harmony. What's no different than what was said by our Lord Jesus Christ? You are all part of God's family. And this is why he broke down the divisions. When we talk about Armenian Orthodoxy, we're not talking about this faith that goes back just a few years, or even 1700, or even 2000 years. We're talking from the beginning of time, because when everything was created, whether you want to believe in a creator or you want to think in terms of a Big Bang, it all started at one point. Boom! At that moment, we are one. And certainly right now, we are all made up of the same energy that was there at that moment, and we are here. It's incredible, because when you look at laws of physics, they follow very much. This is why I'm saying, you know, a thinking man is not somebody who just checks in his brain and says that, okay, well, now I'm into religion, so I'm not going to think anymore. But think about really the laws of thermodynamics. What is one of the rules? Matter is neither created nor destroyed. And so everything that was there at the beginning is there now and is here now. And we are all part of that one collective which we call humanity. Now, during the famine, we prayed, we had discussions, we did art project together, but probably one of the big discussions was over what it means to be human. And this took a unique route to get to this point, because we started talking about ethnicity. and many of the participants Armenian, and this the day after April 24th, where many Armenians were disappointed because Obama, being a politician and doing what politicians do well, reneged on his promise and didn't call the Armenian genocide with the G word. He didn't say genocide. He called it a tragedy and even used some Armenian words which meant the genocide, and many people applauded that, but it's no different than any of his predecessors. And what do you expect? They're politicians. And this is coming from me, where you know my stance on Obama, where I've spoken in the past and even dedicated some of these podcasts, but you need to put it in perspective, that you don't need a politician to verify reality. And you've heard me many times, I've said this in the past, and I go on record, whether it's in my writings, podcasts, or in my sermons, I don't need a politician to verify that the Armenian genocide happened. We know it happened. I mean, do you really need Obama to say the G word? Sure, it brings closure in many different respects politically, but emotionally, you need to be able to take charge of what that reality is. Truth will never be altered whether a politician says yes or no to it. Truth is always truth. The genocide did happen. End of statement. You put a period on it. But what's more important than that is, now that we know it happened, what do we do with it? And how can we today become a positive answer to such a negative and evil event? How can we become a loving answer to such a great evil? Or as Martin Luther King said, you can't drive out darkness with more darkness. The only way to drive out darkness is with light. You can't overcome evil with more evil. The only way to overcome evil is with love. And so our answer has to be in our acts of kindness, in our acts of love to others, and in particular, bring it in focus to people who have gone through the same thing. Now, of course, I'm talking about what we discussed during the famine, you know, and I got to tell you that it was a diverse group of people, too. We had a couple kids that were 13. We had a few that were 15, two or three that were 15, three or four that were 17, 19-year-olds. Yes, it was the odd numbers. It was interesting. And we had a good group that were in their 20s, 30s. And of course, there were some of us old folks there too. But what was interesting is we talked about these issues, but certainly the implications can be made for your personal life. It's not all about genocide. It's really about overcoming evil with good. Because you've had separations in your life, whether it's through divorce, separation, or just relationships gone sour, business relationships, or maybe even death. And you're dealing with this ugliness in your life, with this difficulty in your life. And you're saying that, you know, how do I overcome this difficulty? This sadness, this tragedy in my life, this separation, or whatever it may be. And you can sit there and dwell on it. You can analyze it ad nauseum. I like that statement, ad nauseum, you know, like to the point of actually vomiting because you keep thinking about it so much. You know, there's a nice saying, I always remember this, analysis is paralysis. So many people analyze and go over and over and over and over so many of the things that have taken place in their lives to the point that they can't move forward. They're paralyzed. And you could think about this globally, you could think about this in communities where there's an obsession with things in the past, to the point that you can't move forward. Yes, you know what I'm talking about. Now, in your own lives, how do you get on? How do you say that, okay, well, an answer to the ugliness of genocide is by loving others, by spreading this good cheer? Well, think about it in your own lives. Can you overcome evil with more evil? By hating, by harboring that hatred inside of you, by not forgiving? Or can you overcome that evil by first and foremost having that love in your heart and saying that no matter what you do, your power to hate me will always be less than my power to love you, to care about you. During the civil rights movement, that was the strength of Martin Luther King's message. I mean, here you had in America this incredible hatred of the black man, a hatred. And he said, your power, to your ability to hate us will never overshadow our power to be able to love you. And what did he do? He just moved forward. In your life too, you can be obsessed and focus on the past and deal with everything that's gone in your past, or you can do what you need to do, what Christ challenges you to do. Not look at the cross, but look at the aftermath of the cross and say that beyond that crucifixion, I know there is a resurrection. And I have to tell you, Sunday morning, our group got together and we broke the fast by sharing the Holy Eucharist, by participating in the Divine Liturgy. And I was up at the altar doing that liturgy, and I looked down at this group of 28 to 29 people, and I gotta tell you, there was a magic that happened all of a sudden. There was a movement. There was a movement of spirit that when I looked out at them, I saw a miracle. And what is that miracle? When you think back, the Turkish government wanted to annihilate the Armenian people to the tune that one of their leaders said that there would be one Armenian left in this planet. And that Armenian would be left in a museum. And not only today were we sitting there as a group, worshiping in the ancient language of our people, not only were we there as a group and praying together the prayers of our forefathers in this Armenian Orthodox atmosphere, but here was a group that was not only living, but was creating their today and their tomorrow and reaching out to others. I mean, you want to talk about a miracle? You want to talk about a resurrection? Not only were we resurrected from the tomb, but in resurrecting, we were walking. We were doing. We were loving. We were caring. We were running with life. That, to me, is a resurrection. That, to me, is perhaps the biggest miracle. And I was overwhelmed with that comfort in my heart, with that message in my heart, to know that, you know, despite all of our difficulties in life, whatever your difficulties may be today, you know that if you have the power of love in your heart, if you know that Christ is working inside of you, there is absolutely nothing, nothing that could stand against you. As St. Paul so eloquently said, who then can be against us? If Christ is for us, who then can be against us? If Christ, if love is with you, is there any power that could be against you, that can put you down, that could stop you? This then is the power of our love. Isn't that beautiful? That's the boys, of course, from the Vazgenyan Seminary over at Lake Sevan, singing Ortnyale Astvads, Blessed is God. And that is a hymn right out of the Divine Liturgy. And isn't that just beautiful? It's a celebration. You hear the tempo, the beat? Well, that all adds up. And you know, sometimes you go to an Armenian church and you hear some of these songs, you think you're more in line with a funeral march, or you're certainly sitting in front of some cemetery someplace. This is the way songs should be sung in a celebration of the liturgy. And I wanted to end with that because that's exactly how we ended the famine. When you raise 28,000, which can, you know, like the loaves and fishes, turn into 140,000 in the next few days. As I mentioned earlier in this podcast, there are some matching funds that we're looking into. I mean, think about that. Isn't that a celebration? Isn't it a celebration of a miracle of a group of people that are existing despite the odds, that they have built their life now on love? Isn't that a celebration? And I wanted you to feel that in this little hymn that was sung right now, Ortnyale Astvads. And that we use that as a prelude now going into Bubbles today, because it's all a question of perspective, isn't it?
One day, a father of a very wealthy family took his son on a trip to the country with the firm purpose of showing his son how poor people live. They spent a couple of days and nights on a farm of what would be considered a very poor family. On their return from the trip, the father asked his son, "How was the trip?" "It was great, Dad." "Did you see how poor people live?" the father asked. "Oh yeah," said the son. "So tell me, what did you learn from the trip?" asked the father. The son answered, "I saw that we have one dog, and they had four. We have a pool that reaches to the middle of our garden, and they have a creek that has no end. We have imported lanterns in our garden, and they have the stars at night. Our patio reaches to the front yard, and they have the whole horizon. We have a small piece of land to live on, and they have fields that go beyond our sight. We have servants who serve us, but they serve others. We buy our food, but they grow theirs. We have walls around our property to protect us. They have friends to protect them." The boy's father was speechless. Then his son added, "Thanks, Dad, for showing me how poor we are." This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Perspective has a lot to do with it, doesn't it? Whether you see it as poverty or whether you see it as wealth. Well, think about it in these terms too. You know, some of your crucifixions may very well be preludes to your resurrections. Well, there's a lot of good stuff coming up, and I want to take this opportunity to thank you for the goodness that we shared through this famine. May it be an inspiration for all of us to really believe in the good, to believe in really the message that we try to perpetuate here on this next step, the message of orthodoxy, the message of love. And may this experience that we went through be something that we hold up and say that, yes, it is possible to overcome evil with the power of love. Definitely when we get in springtime, isn't that the way we see spring with all the green around us? Oh, you know I'm just trying to transition. We've got the Green Bible and we've got some creation care coming up with the Global Perspective.
This is Raj in London, and welcome to this week's Global Perspective. When we read or discuss the Bible, generally the environment or climate change is not the first thing that comes to mind. In the church or in group studies, The Bible is usually presented as the story of God's relationship with humanity. Well, the new Green Bible, as it is called, has been published here in Britain recently by Harper One. The Green Bible focuses on what the publishers call creation care with input from leading Christian conservationists, theologians, and practitioners. It demonstrates that creation care is not just a calling, but a lifestyle. This green letter edition of the Bible uses the New Revised Standard Version translation of the scriptures and highlights the verses and passages focused on creation care. It includes a series of essays by leading thinkers, teachers, and writers, as well as a comprehensive green trail guide through scripture, a survey of Christian historical figures and their approach to creation care, combined with a green concordance and resource guide. It is also produced using environmentally sensitive materials, including special paper and covers. As Mark Tauber, Senior Vice President and publisher of Harper One, said, quote, that the Bible has a profound message of sustainability. Some might argue the original message. It is not all that surprising, unquote. Indeed, the Green Bible aims to change this perception. Tauber said, we believe that the unique and specially added features by some of today's most important thinkers, writers, and leaders across the ecumenical spectrum make it a must-have for those who already find motivation, comfort, and inspiration in it, and for the many more who might see it freshly as a critical resource in their journey to sustain our planet, unquote. In recent years, generally people have come to see increasing discussions of environmental concerns, climate change, and sustainability issues as problems related to others or others outside our immediate communities. That these environmental issues have definite political, social, or ethical dimensions, but we hardly see the religious context or dimension of these dire issues. The scriptures are full of passages indeed relating to ecological themes such as the goodness of creation, our interdependence with it, the effect of what has been called, quote, structural sin, and the connection between ecology and justice. In fact, the Judeo-Christian tradition not only highlights God's goodness toward people or humanity, but towards the whole of creation. Over the centuries, saints and church fathers have highlighted this relationship between God, human beings, and earth. For instance, the New Green Bible, which has a foreword by Archbishop Desmond Tutu, highlights over 1,000 biblical passages that relate to earth and the environment. Of course, there are critics and naturalists who think that the Bible is to be blamed for the justification of ecological destruction through the Genesis language of domination, which is actually part of a broader, ethically demanding language of stewardship and responsibility. And there are those who are reading the text just as simplistically as those who light upon particular verses or themes to excuse their lack of environmental concern. Deep ecology requires deep reading, as Simon Beard wrote in an article called The Greening of the Bible. In the Gospel of John 3:16, we read that God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. It does not say God so loved humanity, but so loved the world. And as Reverend Dave Buchlas points out, the Greek word cosmos, the world, refers to the entire ordered universe, the entire creation itself. In Genesis 1:31, we read that God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. The responsibility, commitment, and the challenge for us is to take care of the goodness of this creation. Indeed, in the Armenian tradition, the earth, nature, the environment are highlighted in the church's liturgy, theology, and teaching. The case of the deadly swine flu virus that the world came to know about a few days ago reaffirms the fact that in a globalized world, no society is fully safe from calamities happening thousands of miles away. Individually, collectively, nationally, and indeed globally, we all have to take our responsibilities towards the environment and the natural world seriously. These enormous problems require enormous commitment by literally everyone in society, whether as consumers, activists, policymakers, or just members of a community. It requires the involvement and contribution of everyone. I leave you to ponder on these thoughts, and until next week, this is Hraç Çilingirian with the Global Perspective.
Thank you, Hraç, for putting together such meaningful, thought-provoking episodes of The Global Perspective. I know many of you write in and talk about the podcast as being not only a lesson for the day, but a point of reflection throughout the week. And certainly these little episodes that come to us give us a lot to ponder. So I appreciate that. And I appreciate all of your comments. By the way, have you seen the new website, epostle.net? Oh, if you haven't, check it out right now. Epostle.net has not only this podcast, but every other podcast we've ever had from the beginning of time.
No brag, just fact.
Yes, absolutely. We're not bragging. It's just a fact. You've got to check it out. Our producer's been hard at work putting together this site and really redeveloping it so that you can easily navigate. You not only can get these podcasts or listen to them, but you can now download directly from the link where you can listen to. So check it out and make sure you share it with your friends, because I know a lot of people are asking. We get regular emails, people asking, how can we download this? How can we get to it? The easiest way is go to epostle.net. And to remember epostle, you know, it's apostolic evangelism for an electronic world. Epostle. Holy moly, can we make it any easier than that? Well, actually, you can.
No brag, just fact.
Just go to inhisshoes.org, and you can find information about all of our upcoming events, what's happening in the ministry, and how you can participate, how you can contribute, how you can be somebody who shares that love with everyone around you. And it's still not too late to participate in the famine. If you want to make a donation before we send it off to World Vision, that deadline's coming up in just a few days on Cinco de Mayo. So make sure you just get on there before then, and we'll be happy to include your donation as part of this project that we undertook during the month of April. Hey, listen, a lot of good things happening in issues.org, especially connecting with those who need to be connected to. We have FastR4 right now, FastR4.org. That's another project, another fast that's taking place. Mia Farrow starting it off on April 27th. And we need people to get on board and continue the fast. When somebody stops their fasting, the next person takes on. So get on board and just sign up, FastR4.org, or go to our website, inhisshoes.org. Hey, listen, I left this part for the very end. The next few days, pray for me. I am going through this incredible thing called a diocesan assembly. Yes, yes, yes. Meetings, meetings, meetings. The work of God being done. Well, we'll talk about that maybe next week. If I survive, I've already got a bunch of notes, just I had to sit through this incredible session. If you're wondering why this episode came out just a little bit late, you can't believe the people holding me down. But you know what? The power of love, I'm telling you! It's very powerful. We got some stuff coming up in the next few weeks. You might read about it on our blogs, but definitely I'll talk about it here on The Next Step. So until next week, I want to thank you for joining us, for all the wonderful people who put this program together, for Susie, our producer, for Ani with her bubbles, for Huda Chad in London, for Ken, our engineer. This is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take The Next Step.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.